Blog Talk Radio.
In Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, January 23rd, a very pretty day here in North Texas. A little chilly, but other than that, very pretty day. I think it's going to be in the 50s or so this afternoon, so it should be a sunny, very pretty day of January here in North Texas. We'll get into a couple of things today regarding what's in the news. I've got a couple of thoughts about the shutdown, this government shutdown that became a disaster for Senator Schumer. I have a post this morning over at the American Thinker about climate change. But I want to begin by talking a little bit about what is happening with all of these FBI conversations. And you may be familiar with the stuff. It's all breaking right now, so it'll probably change by the time, the next batch of news comes out. But basically what it comes down to is this. You had two people in the FBI, a couple of FBI agents, as I understand. I'm not exactly sure if they were at the same level of responsibility. But the bottom line is you had these two, this man and this woman, and who were basically having a love affair. So they were sending each other notes. They were texting each other love notes. Now that in itself is a problem, I think, in an organization, because you don't want two people in an organization to be using, it seems to me, and this is just my common sense, but you don't want people using your work phone or your business phone, whatever it may be, to be having a love affair with someone in the same company or the same department. So right there, that to me is a problem to begin with right there. Now, apparently, from what some of these messages that have come out, they were sending each other very negative messages about President Trump. Now, people are entitled, obviously, to believe whatever they want to believe about President Trump or to vote for whoever they want. Just because you work in the FBI or the federal government, that doesn't mean you're not entitled to an opinion. But when you're working in the investigation of President Trump, or you were working in the investigation of Mrs. Clinton and the emails, it gets a little bit confusing when you're showing that much partisanship one way or the other. And that's what the problem is. Now, there's a new batch of emails or texts that came out. I think they were texting each other, where they're talking about a secret society and they're talking about, President Trump. I think this is very scary. And then all of us who respect and I love and respect the FBI. FBI agents are absolutely amazing people. The FBI, every single day, you've got agents who go out there every single day and put their lives on the line. I think the FBI deserves better than this. And I hope that we get to the bottom of this. And then to really top it off, they've lost a bunch of their messages. The FBI has lost a bunch of its own messages, which is in itself pretty incredible to believe. So I think this is a mess. It has to be investigated. I'm not jumping into the conspiracy theories completely. I want to see a little bit more information. But this doesn't look good. This does not look good. And one of these men, or the man in this particular love relationship, was working in the Mueller investigation. So that in itself right there is a very serious problem. This is a story, by the way, that is not going away. You're going to hear a lot more about this over the next few days. But it does not look good. It does not look good for these two people. And it does not look good on Mr. Mueller that this was going on while they were doing the investigation. Well, let's talk a little bit about the shutdown. The shutdown became a total, complete disaster for the Democrats. And for Senator Schumer in particular, who's now catching all kinds of heat from the left, you know, people in the left are furious with him because they think he gave in or he caved in. He really didn't have a choice, to be honest with you. Look, it's always a problem when you shut down the government. It's a problem because basically when you shut down the government, you're shutting down paychecks for soldiers and you're shutting down services. And obviously that's not a good thing. It's not popular. But what made it really very complicated for the Democrats here is that they were not united. It's sort of like an army or whatever going to war, and they're not on the same page. So you had all kinds of disunity in the Democrat Party. On Friday night when they took their first vote, five or six Democrats said, no, we're not going to participate in the shutdown because we don't want to explain to our people that we shut down the federal government over DACA. It's just not something that flies in places like North Dakota, Missouri, Indiana, West Virginia, Alabama, Montana. It doesn't fly in those places. I'm not sure that it flies in a lot of other places either, but those six Democrats decided not to participate. And then over the weekend, Senator Schumer kept digging and digging himself deeper into this. And finally, on Monday, he was under a lot of pressure from his own party, because as I said, there was a lot of disunity. And then he finally came out and he basically accepted the deal that he had on Friday night. And now he says, well, we got another 3 weeks. We'll come back in 3 weeks. And by the way, I'm pulling the border wall off the table, or the negotiations for the border wall. You know, good luck to Senator Schumer. But I think if he wants to do another shutdown, he's going to end up in the same place that he ended up this time. DACA or immigration is not enough to shut down the government. I just don't see the votes or the common sense in doing that. Now, there may be other issues that you want to shut down the government. Maybe you want to shut down the government because the government is spending too much or because you're concerned about debt levels. Okay, that's different. But when you're talking exclusively about immigration, I just don't think that's enough, or that's the kind of issue that you should shut down the governments for. So I wish Senator Schumer the best, but I think if he shuts down the government over immigration, he's going to find himself in the exact same boat that he did this weekend, meaning he's not going anywhere. And that's about what I think will happen. You know, over the last couple of years or so, we've been featuring on our show the music of my good friend Carlos Geddes. He's in the Dallas area. He travels around quite a bit and plays here and there. And I'm going to recommend that you check out his Facebook page. Carlos Geddes, G-U-E-D-E-S, G-U-E-D-E-S, and that you check out his Facebook page, because he's got a bunch of places there in the Facebook page. He has a schedule of where he is around the Dallas area, and you have a chance to hear him play. He usually will play the background music at a nice restaurant or whatever. And it's an absolute delight, you know, to go out to eat and have Carlos playing in the background. It's just an absolute delight. Some places, they even let you dance because you'll have more than just one instrument. So I'm going to recommend, check him out on Facebook, and then you'll appreciate how talented he is. And then you'll appreciate why we love his music here on the show. Just a couple of things before we get to my climate change article. Just a couple of things from On This Day in History. 1977, I don't know how many of you remember that show Roots. It was based on a novel or a book by Alex Haley, and it started on this day. It became very popular, as I recall. They even had several chapters of Roots, I think several seasons. I think they still run it from time to time, but it was obviously a story of a black family coming to the United States originally as slaves, and then, of course, growing up in the South, and in the next generation and the next generation. It's a very good series. It's a really good show. And I know that when it came out, it was very popular back in 77. On this day in 1979, the great Willie Mays went into the Hall of Fame. Willie Mays, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest player in the 20th century. And on this day, now this is one for the baby boomers. On this day in 1968, the USS Pueblo, a spy ship, was arrested or stopped in North Korea, and the sailors in that ship were held prisoner for about a year. Eventually, they were released, but the USS Pueblo was captured on this day in 1968. It became a very embarrassing thing for the Johnson administration, you know, at a time when they didn't really need any other embarrassments because they were already falling apart politically because of Vietnam. So USS Pueblo, there's a really interesting article in the Fox News website about the ship and some of the surviving members and what they're doing now. But that was 50 years ago, so many of those sailors, of course, have passed away, and the ones who are still with us, well, they're getting up there probably in their 80s and so on. Well, let's talk a little bit about climate change. I have a post over at the American Thinker today where I talk about climate change. And, you know, I have for quite some time been open on this climate change topic. I am not a denier. I'm not one of those people who's, you know, will throw the door at your face because you want to talk to me about climate change. But I am getting sick and tired of all of the alarmist talk. And, you know, they give you these this information that in 50 years, the poles are going to, the North Pole and the South Pole are going to melt, and we're all going to be swimming all over. And in fact, many of the models that they've used have turned out to be wrong. And I have in my American Thinker post, I have an example of a new study that says, you know what, that last study was not exactly correct. My whole point is that I have always felt that this whole question of climate change has been very politicized. And it was originally taken over by elements of the left because they wanted to use climate change, I think, to go after capitalism. And they wanted to use climate change to go after manufacturing and so on. And then you had this Paris Climate Accord where, you know, we, the United States, have to give in, but countries like China and India don't have to participate. Well, how in the world can you have a climate change agreement that does not require China, the number one polluter in the world, and does not require India, the other polluter, to make concessions? I mean, so it became just basically an attack on the United States, I think. And of course, what made it worse is that President Obama did not have the authority to sign that agreement, because an agreement of that nature has to be taken to the U.S. Senate. That's why we have something called a treaty. You know, if you're going to do something like this, if you're going to commit the United States to an international organization, you have to have a treaty. That's what the Constitution says. And President Obama, just like he did with the Iran nuclear deal, never submitted it to the U.S. Senate as a treaty. So that was one of the reasons that I was opposed to it, because it was improperly done. But the bottom line is that I think people like me are basically saying, look, I am ready for some information, but don't give me just all this alarm about what the world is going to end. And, you know, we're going to wake up one morning and have all of our streets flooded because the North Pole is melting. You know, I want something more serious than that. And I think if you're going to ask a lot of middle-class families to pay more for the utilities and to pay more for their gasoline, I need more information than just, you know, the South Pole or the North Pole are going to be melting and we're going to have polar bears floating all over. I need more, a little bit more serious than that. And unfortunately, a lot of these models that they have projected have turned out to be wrong. In fact, most of the things that Al Gore projected in his movie have actually turned out to be wrong. So I'm not a denier. Don't call me a denier, but please, please give me a little bit more information. Just a quick thing that I wanted to touch on. I'm sure you've been hearing in the media about all of these polls that show the Democrats leading by 15 or 16 points in the generic vote, what they call the generic vote for Congress. Well, it turns out that over the last 2 or 3 weeks, these polls are really shrinking. And instead of the lead being 17 and 15, it's now down to 5 and 6. And when you get down to 5 and 6, then it's pretty much a margin of error when it comes to this kind of a generic vote. So I think the best you can say about 2018 at this moment is that nobody has a clue of what's going to happen. I think it's way too early. There are too many balls up in the air. And I think people who were projecting a big wave of Democrat support, I think they may have been just a little premature. Let's see where we are in the summer. Let's see where we are in the summer when we have a better sense of what the economy is going to be, when we have a better sense of where we're headed with the American economy. Thank you for listening, folks. Have a wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.